Welcome in, Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Yeah, extra hour today, starting at noon instead of 1 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us as we take over from Will Bowling and Dr. Smooth, Kevin Dyson, our tag team partner for Titans pre- and post-game.
First, let me say this. Happy MLK Day to everyone out there, especially those that are vacationing today. Enjoy your day. But we've been just handed some news, like always. It never ends with the soap opera there at Tennessee. And, oh, by the way, I'm starting back at 12 to 3, which is where I originally started 10 years ago. I'm back at that time slot.
Think about this.
Come back around, right? Does this mean this is the beginning or this is the end?
Well, think about this. You're back to where you started, and so is UT. Yeah. They need an AD and a head coach.
That is crazy, isn't it?
So, Pete Thamel reports it first. Jeremy Pruitt is out. This investigation has been going on forever, and you know, Chris Lowe said a week ago he didn't see how this is something that Pruitt could survive and continue to be the coach, that he just saw that would be very difficult. And at that point, we're like, gosh, so Chris Lowe says something like that. Usually that's a guy who he knows something, but he's never sensational about it. It's like, well, this is what I've heard, or, you know, this is what I think. But at that point, that made me really start to think. And I was telling you and David Reed this. I had a close friend who is deep in the college football world tell me on Thursday, hey, man, I think Pruitt in Tennessee is out on Friday. And apparently a lot of people thought he was going to be out on Friday. Yeah. You know, so this wasn't the only guy who thought that. And then Friday kind of came and went, and Caden Salter showed up in town and tweeted that he's there. And, you know, trip to Henry T. To try to talk him into sticking around. You know, that was something that happened. And, you know, now people are reporting, hey, they had already planned on going out there. You know, if you're Pruitt, you got a coach and you got to go until they tell you you can't go anymore. You know, you just got to assume that you're going to be the coach, so you're not the coach anymore. So all these things happen, Blaine. Kevin Steele gets hired and people would go, well, now what does this mean? Because if you're Fulmer, are you hiring somebody who could be the interim coach? If you're Jeremy Pruitt, who signed off on this, did you just hire your replacement? Or are you saying, no, I'm going to be here. I'm going to hire the best coaches that I can for every position. Everything seemed to have mixed signals. But if you have mixed signals long enough, and if you're going in the same circles long enough, at some point, you either got to pull out of this ditch that you're in and get the thing going, or you just got to blow it up and start all over again. And the most Tennessee thing since 2009 has basically been, okay, here we go again. We're going to start all over again.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have Mike Wilson on a little bit later, after all the pressures and everything, to talk about it. But yeah, you know, first thing that comes to my mind is this par for the course for the SEC? If he was 7-3, and he is Jeremy Pruitt, if he was 7-3, would everything be fine? Would have been a slap on the wrist? Hey, whatever you did, that was okay. Cause I don't think it was anything egregious. Could have been just accumulation of things of maturation of the SEC. What do? Hey, you know, there's rumors out there. Oh, it's, you know, if you're a 5-star, you get so much money and you get a new car and all these other things. Is that what it was for? Or was it for other things that is unacceptable? So maybe it was accumulation of things. I have no idea. You know, the timing is kind of interesting. They got their first recruiting class in. Kind of unfair to those guys, but you know, unfortunately, it helps out the guys on February 14th, I guess, for the next cycle. But where do they go from here? Got to wait for a new AD. So then once you hire a new AD, then that's who's probably going to have more influence on who he wants as a coach. So how long will this process work? The next signing period is like, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Man, it's right around the corner. And that's a lot, because they got to have a punch list of coaches immediately. Until they hire one, or does a former hire the coach and then you then hire the AD because of the time frame? That doesn't seem logical, does it? Because the AD wants to hire his guy.
Yeah, looks like Knox News Sentinel reporting basically that former will stick around and help hire the next AD, and then that guy or gal will be able to hire the next football coach. But You know, here's the thing about college football. It's year round now. It's like the NFL. It never stops. You know, it's not like back in the, even Blaine, when you were playing college
back
football, we've had this discussion before. You were like, I had a job. I mean, I played football in the season, but then I had a job. You had a job.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked people, at the sewer plant. Yeah. You know, hosing poop.
Yeah. It was a crappy job. That's for sure.
Hey. But I wish I would have been just watching the sprinkler systems for $15 an hour. That would have been better.
But you know this. It's a year-round thing now. Guys don't – they go home for a holiday break, but they don't really ever go home. They have spring conditioning. They have summer stuff that they do. And it's – I'm going to hold up my fingers, you know, unsupervised or however, you know, right, it's justified. Right. But it's a year-round thing. So, I mean, will Kevin Steele literally – is he going to be the interim coach for now? Because how many guys?
People here locally would say, no way they would hire him. He knows more. He's not just a, former guy. He is actually, you know, Pruitt's friend. Yeah. Well, that's true. But did they give themselves a security blanket just in case something happened? Yep, they did. And so I'm interested to see if Steele has something in his contract where if he gets as an interim head coach, does he get more pay? He's already, you know, 2.5 or 6 or whatever was from Auburn. So subtract 450, I guess, or however much he was going to make at UT per year. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic. And will he hold the fort so you don't rush into a decision with your AD and your head coach? Because this is not a rush decision. You got to get this right this time. So make sure you take your time and get it right. That's it. I mean, really, at this point, I think this right here can really break them for a long, long time. So I get to try to get this one right. It's just don't rush as much as it's going to be painful. Make sure you get the person as the AD and the coach that you want. A lot of people say it's going to be Hugh Freeze. Who you got on the list? Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn? I mean, who? I don't know. The guy at Coastal Carolina?
Chadwell, yeah. Tom Herman's available. Tom Herman's available. Malzahn, Gus Malzahn's available. You know, do you try to throw a lot of money at Matt Campbell? That dude's winning games at Iowa State, Blaine. I mean, Luke Fickell, who had an argument to be, a lot of people thought an argument to be in the playoff with Cincinnati. Jamie Chadwell, who's the Coastal guy. Billy Napier, who's the guy at the University of, well, I call it Louisiana Lafayette, but they try to be called the University of Louisiana. Napier has Tennessee ties as well and has been part of Power 5 programs. Now, Jamie Chadwell hasn't. He has Tennessee ties. He was born somebody will tweet us and tell us he was born in Tennessee and is from Tennessee. But Billy Napier has won a lot of games at University of Louisiana Lafayette, but he also has ties to Power 5 teams. What about Tom Allen at Indiana? I mean, he ain't sexy, but that dude won games at Indiana. Blaine, that's another place. It's hard to win football games in Indiana.
Oh, it's hard to win football games. Oh, no. Oh, not. They don't care anything about football in Indiana. Keeping it real.
You're from Indiana. You can say that from experience.
They love basketball. I mean, it's all day, all night, like football is in the South.
So the name Hugh Freeze is out there, but some people are saying, oh, you can't hire Hugh Freeze because the way things ended at Ole Miss. Also, that was years ago now. I mean, really? Could you not hire him because the way things ended at Ole Miss? I'm just asking. And maybe that's a question for Vol fans. Do you not want him because of the way things ended at Ole Miss? Because here's the thing I know. That dude wins everywhere, Blaine. Everywhere.
There's no place
he goes that he doesn't win.
Yep. That is for sure. So you could take it or leave it. And you can say, we just fired a guy for minor slap on the wrist violations and we don't need another. Well, don't let the scars from before affect your decision today. That Hugh Freeze could have turned over a new leaf. And it seems like he has. And he also wins and he knows the footprint of the SEC. Oh, by the way, he did be saving a couple times, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, whoa. Oh, that, well, that right there puts him on the list. That puts him on the list, and it should be high on the list.
So I think so. I just don't know. I'm all in on him. I mean, I've known the guy for 10 years. Yeah, 10 years now. I'm 11 this year because I met him in 2010. So I'm all in on the guy. And then other people are mentioning Doug Marrone. Now, he had a pit stop in Tennessee as the tight ends coach and worked with the old line back in 2001, the former Jags coach. So there are some people, Blaine, who are saying his name. And I've seen his name out there before. Okay. And he's an OG, kind of a steadying force type guy.
Maybe your tweener guy. You know, your 2 or 3 year window. But, you know, you got Kevin Steele really for that, in my mind.
Right.
But so I get it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is, I mean, we're talking about the coach, and that's been something we've been talking about some time. But with Phil Fulmer reportedly set to retire, you got to find a director of athletics, too. And you've had turnover with the AD, just like you've had turnover with the head coach, just like you've had turnover at the chancellor spot at UT. And Chris Lowe has said this over and over again on this radio station. And I agree with him. And I'll quote him kind of loosely. If there's always turnover at the top, that kind of rolls downhill. If there's not stability at the very top, then it's hard to have stability in other areas. And I would agree with that 100%. I would agree with it 100%. So here's the thing. Phone lines are wide open. We had a guest that we canceled because we want to talk about this. 615-737-1045. Who do you want as AD? Who do you want as head coach? There's probably, you know, some people out there who are going to be doing the Schiano, I told you so thing. And that's something we need to get into because he wasn't the right guy. The fan base didn't want him. I mean, if he would have been a better coach down the road is irrelevant or not. It wasn't a fit for this fan base. It wasn't a fit. But maybe you're a Schiano guy. You want to call in. We'll take all the phone calls. 615-737-1045. It's Blaine and Mickey on 1045 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. So, yeah, Vols fans, here we go again. Only this time there's an AD search and a coaching search at the same time. And I'll ask this question, too, and let's put this out there, Blaine. Maybe you were all out on Fulmer. You were all out on Pruitt. Maybe you're just out on them. I imagine there are some people who are excited about this, like, okay, let's get it right this time. And I would imagine there are other people, Blaine, who are like, oh, my heavens. Are you serious? Here we go again. More instability, starting all over again. I mean, I would think there are people who are strongly on both sides of the aisle, just like we are seeing, you know, in various ways throughout our country right now. I would imagine there are people who are strongly on both sides of the aisle. Some are like, thank goodness he's gone. It was never going to work. Okay, Fulmer's gone too. We'll figure that out. Good. Go get the next best guy. And other people are saying, oh, my Lord, I can't take this again.
I would say I would probably side with as much as I'm a fan, I would say I side with clean slate. Let's start it. Get it right. Let's try to get it right. Fulmer and crew, which was patchwork on Fulmer's part because he picked up the pieces. That's why it's kind of interesting that he doesn't get to have one more hire. In the stable before he retires, but it's probably a little too much for him at this point. So I guess you got to go clean slate. So I'm cool with that. But let's take our time and do it the right way. Yeah. You know, you got still have some big time names out there and some up and coming guys. So I think you still have a fresh crop of coaches that are really good. So let's get a CEO who's run a program before. So do you want a CEO who's run a program before? Do you want someone who's an old, wily coach who's done it before? Or do you want the young, up-and-coming guy?
Yep.
But you have to get a CEO. So I'm more so for hiring a previous head coach who has head coaching experience and not the DC or the OC unless he's off the charts and most of those guys are already taken.
Right.
More so OC because that's kind of the hot new wave. Putting up points. That's kind of how I would look at it from a bird's eye view. Yeah.
Boy. And this is day one. We remember what it was like the last time they had a search. We talked about it for weeks as things went on. What a dysfunctional search that was.
3-4 years ago?
This was three seasons for Jeremy Pruitt. He finished 16-19 in 3 years and leaves in the midst of an investigation.
Yeah. So fans, if you're just joining us, to tell us how you feel. I mean, man, 737-1045. I mean, man, this is you feel like this is the right move by the powers that be that run Tennessee, or did they go too extreme and should have kept Fulmer? I think a lot of people thought Pruitt wasn't the guy to get it done. I think it was probably more leaning that way than any other way. Fulmer maybe just got caught in the mix because, you know, that's who he hired and maybe got the extension to, stuck by him, and now they need to move on.
And here's the thing. If you are Dondi Plowman, if you're Randy Boyd, if you're those people, because I talk about this all the time. Everything starts with, like, board of trustees guys, because those are the most powerful and influential type people. And they know all the other people who are just like them. Those are the people who write the biggest checks, have the longest arms, and the longest amount of influence. At some point, a lot of the reason that things happen and the reason that guys go, coaches go, ADs go, is because board of trustees says, I've heard enough, go take care of this, to the chancellor. Or, you know, to the AD, if it's a coach that's got to go, and that comes, everything filters down from the board of trustees. So if they truly didn't want Jeremy Pruitt, if they truly didn't want him, and they thought he wasn't the guy, here's the thing, Blaine, you've had lawyers on campus now for how long? Weeks and weeks. And they just keep digging, right? They've just been digging and digging and digging. Did they finally dig enough that they went to the powers that be and said, you can fire him for cause. You can settle for him for pennies on the dollar right now. If you want him out, he's got to go now. Because this is here's all these bags full of evidence right here. Here you go. Here's this one. Here's this one. Here's this one.
Well, I mean, instead of having $12 million buyout, now you say, okay, $6 million, which is what his previous contract actually said before he got the extension. I think somewhere thereabout. So now you walk away with, you know, that in hand. So I just would want to be a little birdie, like, who started sniffing around and said, we need to look into the program about some minor violations. How did that get? I bet only a handful of people knew that.
And then it gets leaked out to Trey Wallace, right?
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was kind of weird. It was fishy.
Really fishy. Yeah. Because who would tell on themselves? Like, who tells a reporter, hey, man, we're looking into our head coach? Most of the time you keep that under your hat because you don't want people to know. Somebody wanted somebody to know.
Yeah.
If you dig deep
enough into, you know, David Reed's beard, you may find something. If you keep digging, you're going to find something.
100%.
Yeah.
And here we are. We got phone calls. Adam, Joe, Braxton, Jake. We'll start with Adam, who is up first on Blaine and Mickey today. Adam, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Yeah, I wanted to say a few words. First of all, I think it is fishing. Whatever happened with Pruitt, he didn't learn to recruit differently than Georgia, Alabama, and FSU all of a sudden at Tennessee. So it is weird. But I played for Coach Freeze at Lambeth, and just wanted to kind of say a few things in his favor. I know there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, he's fake, and you know, his character is all a fake, and I just wanted to say that I don't think that should be an issue when hiring. There's just no way that it could be fake. You know, great men have capacity for greater good and greater evil, but he changed a lot of guys' lives for the better at Lambeth, where I played for him. You know, you just can't know what he knows and not be putting the work in to do good and be with a purpose. And as far as a football coach goes, I mean, who are you more scared of on the opposite sideline that's available right now than Hugh Freeze over there?
Adam, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for the perspective. Blaine, he took an Arkansas State football team. He had gone to San Jose State to be the offensive coordinator. And Clay Helton was going to be the offensive coordinator at Arkansas State. And Clay Helton wound up going to USC, and the rest is history. He went with Lane Kiffin when Lane Kiffin left Tennessee. So the Tennessee thing had ties to the Arkansas State thing. So Arkansas State needed an offensive coordinator, and somebody had told the then head coach, there's a guy in California who's miserable. He's from Mississippi. He was in, on Ole Miss's staff. It's a guy named Hugh Freeze, great offensive mind. So Hugh Freeze was the OC at Arkansas State for a year, and then the coach got fired, and they started to look at a search, and basically enough people in the community who gave money, who had gotten to know Hugh Freeze, said, if you don't hire Hugh Freeze, you're doing this wrong. And he took a team that had won 3 or 4 games every year for 9 years in a row, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, whatever the number was, and they won 10 games. And, I mean, I saw it. I went to practice every day. I was in the locker room for pre and post games. I didn't work at Arkansas State then. I was still working radio, and I saw it. You know, I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw him change guys who had won 4 games into guys who won 10 games. And I get it. People are always going to say, yeah, but look at what he did personally. Yeah, he made a mistake. He did.
But everybody deserves a second chance.
Second chance. Yeah.
Are you willing, if you're a ball fan, to give him that chance after maybe slapping the wrist on a coach that you fired? Is it time? Or will you run from that and say, nope, we don't want anybody with any stink on them ever this point?
There you go. That's a great question. Jump in line, 615-737-1045. Let's get Joe in next. Joe, thank you for your call to Blaine and Mickey.
Hello. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Doing good.
I guess Mickey, you're kind of excited about the Whataburger coming to Nashville.
Well, there's something to be positive about on this Monday. Thank you, Trey.
Right. I'm excited, too, because I'm going to have to go to the bathroom a lot with Whataburger.
On the Tennessee thing, you got to start with calling David Blackburn to see if he'll take the AD job. He should have been hired before Curry was.
Joe, can I tell you this? I said on the air when it was Curry and all those guys were being talked about, David Blackburn was the guy. How did nobody up there figure that out?
Yeah, I don't know. The new chancellor that didn't know anything about University of Tennessee. I mean, I'm in Chattanooga now, and Blackburn was here at UTC, and he would have called the Knoxville to take that job.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the head coaching job, I mean, you look at Freeze, he beat Alabama twice. Gus Malzahn beat him 3 times. So go hire Gus Malzahn if you're basing it on that.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Joe. Malzahn's another interesting guy out there. Now, Malzahn has been at Auburn and has had more chances to beat Saban than Freeze had. He's had more years to play him, obviously. But there's another guy, Gus Malzahn, who just got fired at Auburn, who's a very stable.
He finished 6-4 or 7-3. And he got fired for being he had a winning record.
It was one of the – that may have been 6-4. Yeah. But, yeah, six is the fewest games the guys won there.
In an all-SEC schedule.
Yes, 10 games.
Meanwhile, Tennessee was 3-7.
Now, that's another guy that I know really well because I spent a year with him, too, at Arkansas State.
Man, it always goes back to you, Mickey, at Arkansas State. You guys just breeding great coaches out there. That's
we
fact.
We are, man. That is the fact. Here's the thing about Gus. Gus can operate without getting emotional, unlike most people that you'll ever be around. He just stays in his football mode all the time. I remember, you'd try to make small talk with him, and he'd talk about his family because he loved talking about his family. He loves his girls, and now he loves his grandkids and loves his wife, and you could talk family with him, but he wasn't a big small talk guy. But honestly, Blaine, you could go, hey, the third play of the third quarter against Louisiana Monroe, and he would just pick it up from there. And he could go forever. The guy's only football, no distractions. So, he wouldn't get caught up in the noise. He wouldn't get caught up in what has been going on in there. He wouldn't get caught up in who used to be the coach. He wouldn't get caught up in any of that stuff. None of that stuff seems to get to Freeze or to Malzahn. Freeze is an emotional guy. Like, you can hear it in his voice. I don't remember Malzahn ever getting real emotional about anything.
Oh,
and And they won, you know, they won 9 or 10 games with him too. So, you know, I mean, he came to Arkansas State and won. Then he went to Auburn and almost won a national championship. So if you want somebody who can go up there and jump right in the middle with everything burning down around him and just look like he's wearing a flame suit, that's Gus Malzahn. That's him 100%.
Now, do you think Tennessee would be like, oh, no, we don't want to hire an Auburn guy. We want to go out and have our own guy, a Tennessee guy. What do you think the fan base thinks of that? We're gonna get our guy and get out of the SEC footprint.
I think at this point, man, I just think you need to identify the absolute best person for the job. And if that dude is from Mars, then I think you need to fly to Mars with a space probe and hire him. I mean,
well, since you know both of them, but picking between Freeze and Malzahn, if you had to make a choice for this situation that Tennessee is in, who is the best fit at this time?
Well, Malzahn, that's a great question. And Malzahn came into a great situation because Hugh Freeze had taught those guys how to win. You know, sometimes guys just have to learn how to win. They won 4 games in the next year, they won 10. So Malzahn walked in and they had a quarterback. And here's the thing, and people are going to laugh at me, but Blaine, probably 15 guys on that team either played in the NFL. I mean, DeMario Davis is still playing. He played last night.
JD McKissick.
Yeah, JD McKissick was on Gus Malzahn's team. He played for the Redskins or the Washington team football this year, the WTF. There were a bunch of guys that played multiple years in the NFL and a bunch of guys who at least went to camp, you know, draft picks. So you have like 15 guys who were at least good enough to go get a shot at the NFL in the Sun Belt. And that's a lot of guys on a Sun Belt team. They had a lot of talent. But Freeze walked into a situation that was a mess and won 10 games. Tennessee is a mess.
The next year, he won 10 games out there. Before he got there, there was like 3 wins.
Yep. Yep. And it was turmoil.
Actually, it's easier to do in the Sun Belt than if you're in the SEC. Yep. But it does show his leadership and how to teach guys how to win and the coaching that has to be done. So, yeah.
And the other thing, too, is he is an emotional guy. And there's probably some emotions going on right now in that locker room. Think about Caden Salter. That dude's been there 24 hours and his coach is gone.
Oh, they've
been there 24 hours.
They nuts and boast them.
But he's a guy who could walk in that room, and Gus could do it too. But Hugh could walk in that room and keep it together. I mean, he kept a team together. And the guys who won 4 games, they loved the coach that got let go. He was a great dude. Steve Roberts is his name. He was a great coach. He recruited unbelievably well. They just could never get it together. So I saw Hugh take a bad situation and make it good. And I saw Malzahn take a situation that had been turned really good and keep it rolling. Mm. So Hugh would be my pick for that reason, although I think either one of them would be a fantastic choice. Let's go back to the phones again. Braxton will join us next on Blaine and Mickey. Hey, Braxton, welcome in.
Hey, guys, been listening for years. I don't call very often, but this is a pretty substantial thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
My opinion is a CEO type of guy doesn't see a dumpster fire of a program as a destination place. You need someone that loves UT, someone that can bring the fan base together, someone that can recruit. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. T. Martin should have got the job years ago. It's been right under their nose all along. One of the streets that literally lead into the stadium has his name on it. If there is indeed a home run, it's T. Martin. Hugh Freeze is a great coach, but he also has a stain. And you've had Kiffin. Now you've had Pruitt. You cannot go to Freeze. You got to run from that. I say T. Martin. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I'd be popular with a lot of all fans.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of all fans, but I don't get it. You need a CEO. You don't know if he's a great CEO. He's never run a program. He's only been a really co-coordinator as offensive coordinator when he was at USC. So we don't know. Do we know he's revered at Tennessee? I want him to get outside the box and quit saying we got to get a Tennessee guy. That's not to say the T. Martin's not the guy. I have no idea. But it doesn't have to be a Tennessee guy. Maybe that's the issue. Need somebody with their own brain to say, this is how we run a program. This is it. I've done it multiple times. I've had success. Lay out the platform. I mean, just open it up and don't be so we have to go to a Tennessee guy. As much as I like T. Martin, and does he deserve a shot? Probably so. But to me, his first shot, if he was like at, I'm going to just use my school. Like if he was at Ball State and they had success in their winning on an Arkansas State, his neck, and he ran that program, a Sun Belt program, a MAC program, then the next steps then is to see if he can, you know, run a big program in the SEC or a Power Five. So I think right now, if you want stability, I'm not going to take a risk if it was me personally and I'm the athletic director on the unknowns, even though he could be turn out to be great. I can't do it. I want stability right now. I mean, we've all watched this program over the last 10 years. You want a proven commodity. No more OCDC promotions. I want that guy who's shown he can win and run a program. And he's done it. His resume says it. That's me, though. That's me personally. I'm probably more conservative than most. What about you, Mickey?
You know, I think for a lot of the guys like T who wound up at a Power Five program in a good gig. I mean, if you're at USC, USC's one of the top historical college programs in America, and that's where he was. And sometimes guys get a place like that, and they stop looking maybe for the Ball State job or the Arkansas State job because they think, I'm just going to stay where I am. I make a killing, and maybe the right Power Five thing's going to open up for me one day. I'll just go from here. But you think about this for a guy like T, let's say that he had that South Alabama job that he was a candidate for recently. That job's been open every 3 or 4 years since that job existed. It's been open. I mean, I know because I would see the different coach every 2 or 3, 4 years across the sidelines from an Arkansas State team because they play each other. Let's say he'd been there 3 years. Let's say he was the last guy they hired before this opening and he was down there tearing it up. At that point, don't you think he'd be a legit candidate? Just like you said, if he'd been down there and they were winning 8, 9, 10 games. Because you can win. I mean, this is the best year the Sun Belt ever had in history. Between Coastal and Louisiana. You know, last year you had App State who played out of their minds. I mean, the Sun Belt has been on the rise. Guys are getting hired out of the Sun Belt for Power Five jobs unlike anything we've ever seen in history. So if he'd been down there 3 years and torn it up, 100%, I think he'd be a top-level legitimate candidate.
Yeah, no doubt. David Reed has some input on who he thinks that the Vol Nation should hire. David, right? It's kind of interesting.
I'm all about some groomers. It's clearly not working out. It's not clear. It's clearly not working out in Las Vegas. I mean, he's not happy. He's not happy. I mean, look at him. He's put on weight. He looks like James Harden. He's hitting too many buffets out there. Just bring him home to Knoxville. Bring him and his family home to Knoxville.
And he could actually work for free because he's making $10 million a year from Vegas.
Exactly. That saves you on the buyout.
Well, I'm sure we're going to hear that he was shopping for land somewhere, you know, around Knoxville somewhere. All right, we got to take a break. We'll keep this discussion going. I think we still have Jake on the line. We'll go to you, 615-737-1045. You want a young guy? You want an OG? Do you want T. Martin? Do you want Hugh Freeze? Heck, do you want John Gruden? This is your chance to sound off because we're going to be talking about this for a while. We'll also talk some NFL today, too. But, wow, what a bombshell on this Monday. Hugh, if you're just joining us, Jeremy Pruitt out. Philip Fulmer will be retiring. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. So here's what's going on today. Jeremy Pruitt is out at the University of Tennessee. I think there are a lot of people who thought this was getting done on Friday. It didn't get done on Friday, but it percolated for another weekend. And then it happened today. Also, the news is that Philip Fulmer will retire after helping to choose the next director of athletics. So Tennessee is officially now in the search for a head football coach. So, you know, along with that will be the search for assistants, who's staying and who's going. We'll have to figure all that out. And going to have to find an AD first.
Right. You brought up some names during the break, Mickey, I guess, for athletic director. And that's kind of your background a little bit more in dealing with a lot of athletic directors over your times at Arkansas State, as well as coaches. So, yeah, what do you got for us?
Jason Swain tweeted this out, and the two names that I'd heard and that I had written down, and I even heard Swain's partner Ben McKee say this on our station right before we went on. He was on with Dr. Smooth, Kevin Dyson, and Will Bowling. He mentioned Mark Ingram, who's at UAB, who has deep ties to the University of Tennessee. He also mentioned John Gilbert, who's now at East Carolina. Swain mentioned both of those guys, but he also brought up Gerald Harrison from Austin Peay. So, you know, there's three names that I certainly think that UT fans would consider, would be interested in. You know, those are three names that they know for sure.
At least with what you said, Mark Ingram from UAB, their coach, what is it, Clark? What's his first name?
Bill Clark, yeah.
Bill Clark has done a heck of a job after the program was dismantled. Then he put it back together and has grown it into a, you know, conference USA power, really, at this point. So, yeah, I kind of like that feel of that. That could happen pretty quickly. And he's a good coach, really good coach. So, one of that possibly could be on the table. Who are the ADs connected to Peyton Manning, who's going to have a voice in this decision, I think?
Yeah, The Athletic is reporting that Peyton Manning will play a huge role in who might be the next football coach. Here's a name that I thought of, and I wrote this name down. I don't want anybody from Bowling Green to throw rocks at me or anything, but I thought about Todd Stewart from Western Kentucky. He's just a name that we know.
Oh,
he's
yes.
done great work at Western Kentucky. I mean, he has done a really good job.
Contract negotiations on his coaches, too.
Yep. That dude has been a really good really good athletic director, has hired football coaches, has hired basketball coaches, you know, negotiated that series with Arkansas where they made a bunch of money and beat them in three different sports and games and, you know, wound up getting Chad Morris fired after they – this guy's done a lot at Western Kentucky, and Western is like any other school in the group of five. If you're going to win more than you lose overall, you got to punch above your weight. He's punched above his weight for a long time. I call him on the phone. Wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you talk to that guy?
Yeah, because –
and Western fans –
he got, Petrino. Then he had his buyout was high because he knew he was going to be there for a year or two max and got money to come back. I mean, he's negotiated some really good contracts. And you have to be a good negotiator in those contracts when you're at the non-Power 5 schools. So, and he's hired good coaches along the way, knowing that they're going to potentially move up and leave. So, yeah, he's hit on all of them pretty much. This point now, Helton is there, who used to be the OC. I don't know how much they feel about him on this hit, but he's average at best. But so far, he's only been there, 2 years? So we shall see if that one pans out. But, you know, he's been on the right track. He's hit on every last one, and that is hard to do on every last coach that he's hired.
And I think sometimes we get, I don't know what you call it, regional bias blame, where we just look around and we think, well, this guy's an hour away and look how good he is. And this guy's right down the road and look how good. So there may be some guy in Washington that they think is great, or, you know, the AD at Oregon, Nick, what's his name? Mullins. I saw somebody tweet his name earlier, like, go after that guy and don't look back. So there are, and I would say who it was, but I obviously don't remember. I looked at Twitter so much today because I felt like something was going to happen. I kept refreshing everything, and then something did happen. So I'll try to give credit to everybody who said anything today, but I don't remember who said that all the way. But by the way, we also brought this up, you know, would you go after Gus Malzahn? And somebody said, guys, with Kevin Steele on campus, that might not be the greatest marriage of two people. Actually, I spent time making notes for the show today all throughout the weekend, and I had written that down and then just didn't go back to it. I don't know if you could put Gus and Kevin Steele, you know, back together, maybe the way things ended at Auburn. I don't know. Maybe you could.
But how did they end where it was so bad? Guess what? Neither one of them is back there, so nobody won.
Nobody did.
There was rumor that Steele was going to get the gig, but he didn't.
He did not.
Well, how about the reunion right here?
You know who,
and let's run this thing again.
Hey, you know who did get the gig though? Another former Arkansas State.
Hey, stop.
Brian Harsin. I'm not making this up, man. I'm not making this up. Jake, let's get Jake has been holding for a while. Jake, you're very kind to hold, man. Jump in right quick. What you got, brother?
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick question on the AD position. What are your thoughts on Tennessee hiring Chris Massaro, the current AD at MTSU? He's been there for a while, had a little bit of success, knows the state, really a great guy personally. Just want to get your thoughts on that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Probably, man, Mickey, great guy. He's done a great job. I just don't know if he would be on the radar for UT. You think that he would?
I think that I've never had a bad experience with him in my life, and I've known him.
Yeah.
You know, I've known him for a long time. Good guy, but you know, they haven't built a lot of facilities down there. They haven't, you know, I don't know if his star would be on the rise for that kind of job at this point. I think they'll probably look for somebody who's more experienced, has a more, you know, a bigger track record of all the things you've got to have to be an athletic director at a place like Tennessee and the SEC. And like I said, I like Chris Massaro a whole lot, but I doubt he's going to be on their radar at the University of Tennessee.
I'm always all about right. People, and man, what a great person he is. So, you know, but sometimes great people finish last.
Well, when he's finishing at Middle Tennessee, at least for right now. I think they'll probably look in a different direction. But, yeah, Chris, if you're listening, you're, of course, our friend. But, hey, man, if you get the job, more power to you. Absolutely. All right. We have people who are still on hold, 615-737-1045. We'll continue to talk about the Tennessee coaching and athletic director, soon-to-be vacancies. We'll talk a little football. And sounds like there could be a press conference coming up at the University of Tennessee later. Our plan will be certainly to go to that live when it happens. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.